Ricky, Xavier, thanks very much for coming in. Now, I know you guys aren't on the best of terms, to put it mildly, so to have you so close in such a close environment, are things going to kick off? Shall I be sitting in the middle of you?
I think we're going to save everything for next Saturday at Ladder Wars. We've said all we need to say, and you know, at the end of the day, we're just two guys that we want the best for CCW. We want the best for Cork wrestling. So I think we're going to save the magic for the 20th of February.
Xavier, is it hard for you to just be looking at Ricky at the moment?
Yeah, it always is. You know, even from a training standpoint, you know, it's always leg for leg, you know, ear for an ear, and so on. So, you know, I am a professional, so that's what I'm going to do today, and we'll just crack on.
All right, we are a week out from Ladder Wars happening on the 20th of February. Guys, can you fill us in and tell us how you've gotten to this point?
Yeah, of course, Roy. I guess I'll start. So I won the CCW Heavyweight Championship at Summer Brawl, which was in August. And since then, I've basically been going up against the establishment, which they're a wrestling stable consisting of the Messiah and Lee Callan and Jack Foyce at the moment, Tony Kelly and Adrian Jonathan's, and
kind of like a one man army against them all, like.
Yeah. Well, I don't like, you know, I don't want to say it's just me. It's not just me. I'm not the only one that's been affected, but I have tried to stand up against them, and you know, c'est la vie, that's life. You know, it happens, and lately I've kind of been, you know, going head to head with Lycan, who I'd beaten for the heavyweight championship, and you know, Lycan and I have faced each other technically three times now. Mm. So we went head to head at Riot, that was on the Pav there on the, I think it was the 20th of October, and we saw each other again at the actually face himself and Xavier Burns at Clash for Gold in November. And Lycan and I just had another match there at this year's Championship Choice. So it's been a long road, and you know, with the establishment trying to, I suppose, you know, pin me down and and pry back what they feel is theirs. And you know, Lycan and I went at it three times, and now they're deciding to give Xavier a go at it. So that's kind of where I am, I guess. I'm just willing to defend the belt against, you know, whoever, anytime, anywhere. That's kind of champion I want to be. That's the person that I am. So, you know, and now Xavier's got a chance, so hey, why not?
And Xavier, you, like, looking at Ricky, he's obviously got something that you want, and that is the strap.
Yeah, Rory, well, what happened there last month, I defeated one of the most decorated wrestlers in Ireland, Bingo Balance, for the All-Star Championship. You can call it controversial or not, I still pinned him 1-2-3. I was hand-selected now by Lee Callan to go up against Ricky and actually do the one thing that no one has ever done and take the belt from him. And that's what I'm going to do.
And Ricky, is there pressure on you as champion? Because, I mean, like, you've got all these guys coming at you, so is there pressure on you just to perform to the best of your ability every time you get in there?
There's always pressure. I mean, there's been pressure on me since day one. There was pressure even before day one when I thought, hey, can I do this? You know, and it's a different thing than when you're training from when you're actually out there. But I mean, I like to think I thrive under pressure. I mean, you know, I'm just a regular guy in many ways. I'm a Cork resident. I don't have any nicknames. I am just what I am. My opponent, he can call himself the Messiah. He can think that he's Jesus Christ. You know, he can praise whatever God that he wants to. But on the 20th of February, he's going to meet God.
We've been following CCW quite closely on this show. I mean, like, we've had Lee on, we had Marion Armstrong on, we had DOC on over the past couple of years. Can you tell us both, guys, about your history with the promotion, how you both started in wrestling? Xavier, might start with yourself.
Yeah, sure, of course. I started training with Celtic Championship Wrestling in August 2013. Prior to that, I was up in NW Ireland back in 2007. So I had a year's experience before I came to CCW. I'm from Waterford myself, so, you know, it's not too far away. So I started training with the lads there. So worked up the ranks. I debuted then on the CCW Riot, which was in the Savoy. Mm. It was headlined by Ross Brown and Bingo Balance. So I made my debut there, and it's just been a train ride ever since.
What is it about professional wrestling that attracts you to the sport?
For me, just adrenaline. It's that little rush that you get if you have a match for 10, 15 minutes. It's that 10, 15 minutes that, you know, you can't get anything out of anything else, you know. It's just... it's irreplaceable, you know.
And Ricky, how did you get involved?
Well, it's quite similar to Xavier. I actually first got into wrestling, I think it was in 2010, 2011, up in Fight Factory in Bray County, Wicklow. And yeah, I guess the commute was just a bit long, and you know, other things got in the way, and so I took a little break from it, and I didn't come back to it until it was 2013, and I started up with CCW then in Cork. How I started actually was, I was actually in my gym one day, and I just so happened to bump into Blake Norton, who was the first trainer.
Yeah, we've had Blake before. on the show too.
And Blake and I just got talking in my gym, and he just said, "Hey, you know, you got a good look for this thing. You know, have you ever thought about professional wrestling?" And I said, "You know, actually, I have." And it was just kind of funny. It was just one of those things we just had in common. And you know, if I met him again today, it'd be a huge thing that we'd have in common.
Mm.
So I'm forever grateful to Blake for, you know, just talking to me, because you know, I was just another guy on a different bench to him, and on the bench next to him or something. And yeah, and I think, you know, I was fascinated by Blake's life then and there. You know,
he's a fascinating character.
He is fascinating. One word, fascinating. Mm. And you know, I think I probably blew up his brain a little bit that day, just asking questions. And I remember having to kind of rein back my questions a little.
Yeah.
But so I showed up anyway the first day of training, and you know, then I was kind of, I think I was allowed to blow up his brain a little bit then. And you know, I'm always hungry for experience, so from then on, I just want to be a sponge to knowledge and just try to soak up absolutely everything. And I would credit like both Blake and my hunger for knowledge to as to why I am the CCW heavyweight champion right now.
And imagine you guys are massive wrestling fans before you got into this.
Yeah, definitely. I was actually kind of like a little bit later getting into it. I got into wrestling, I think, when I was like maybe about 12 or something. I remember the corporate ministry angle was going strong. Yeah. So there's a bit of a mirror there between myself and Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't know if anyone else sees that, but I do. Yeah, and I think I went away from it then when I was 13 or 14, and I got back into it later on when I was about 15. So kind of during Brock Lesnar and Brock Lesnar's rise, and you know, then he went away and John Cena, and so yeah, that was kind of my you know, I've kind of always been a fan since, for the last 10, 12 years, I suppose.
What about you, Xavier?
I had no choice but to watch wrestling. You know, my grandfather and grandmother were massive World of Sport fans. So just even pictures of me sitting on my grandfather's lap, you know, watching World of Sport. So,
giant haystacks and all that crap.
Yeah, exactly. So there was never a time in my life when I didn't watch it. So I got to the stage where I was just so obsessed with it. I was like, I need to do it. I can't watch it anymore. I need to get in the ring.
What's the typical training program for you like?
Well, for me, it's we train wrestling, I guess, 3 times a week. And then, you know, it's, you know, you can, it depends what kind of a wrestler you want to be. I mean, if you want to rely more on your wrestling, if you want to rely more on your strength or your prowess, like for me, I spend a lot of time in the gym. I mean, I'm in the gym 5 or 6 days a week. You know, obviously diet is a huge part of that. Like, some people, you know, don't think that we're athletes, you know, but I mean, we're entertainers or whatever, but I can tell you from experience that I certainly train like an athlete. And you know, but I'm damn entertaining at the same time. So I mean, I would challenge anyone who doesn't think I'm an athlete to step in the ring
or try and train with you
So
everyone, what about you?
Yeah, well, a lot of people, like, you know, the cardio I think is so important in the ring, because if you get blown up in the ring within 3-4 minutes, you're wrecked. Lights, you know what I mean, it's lights out, you know. So you say to someone, run 2 minutes in the ropes, you know, you will be blown up without
I'd be dead.
That's what I'm saying. So my training regime, I train with the lads once a week. I hit the gym 5 days a week, obviously dieting as well. But yeah, I honestly think the cardio is so important as well, you know, and of course lifting weights as well. And you have to look the part.
A lot of Irish people in the WWE at the moment, Sheamus, Finn Balor, just to name two. What's the...
Becky Lynch,
yeah, that's right. Do you guys have any like aspirations to make it that far?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely we do. It's wrestling's a very funny thing, because it's such a niche that, I mean, you know, if there was a LinkedIn for wrestling, I think, you know, we'd be about maybe 2 connections away from Vince McMahon. But like, that doesn't mean anything, you know. It's really just you just have to sort of keep working, keep your head down, and I think keep your mouth shut is another big thing, like, and respect everyone that's there before you, and be humble to those people that want to be where you are. And it's like, I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and he said, it's so funny that, like, in this business, you know, there is so many people that, like, come at each other's throats when, like, it's really a business that can only survive by people being, you know, friendly and nice and having respect for one another. to answer your question, I guess, yeah, absolutely. I have aspirations to, you know, be in WWE or Ring of Honor or even Hey New Japan. Like, and they're all possibilities. And then, you know, at the same time, they all seem like ludicrous dreams at the same time.
It's something I was going to say, because even just watching, like, Prince Devitt's progression, like, you know, going from Ireland and then going to Japan, it seems like he really just, like, paid his dues all the way, all the way. And now he's finally on the cusp of making it huge.
It's funny in the sense that, like, you'd be surprised that, you know, I think was Prince Devitt, he was in Japan for about 7 years,
eight years.
So I mean, that was about, so maybe 9 years ago, I'd say. Up until about 9 years ago, he was probably, you know, working in bars while he was wrestling.
Yeah.
I think he actually worked in a subway or something like that. It was,
in
was
Japan.
A story in Japan, I
class.
Think. But yeah, you know, and like, I was reading recently about Dean Ambrose back when he was John Moxley before he came to WWE. He literally got a phone call, having woken up at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because he'd been bartending all night. So it's a weird profession in that, like, you could actually be making millions or making zero in you know, a couple of days.
Very fine line.
Yeah, very, very, very fine line.
Away from that slightly, sad to see Daniel Bryan announce his retirement earlier on in the week, but I suppose the guy had to from a health reason. But he must be kind of like an inspiration for you guys. I mean, like, this guy didn't have anything going from his size being the main one, but like, he kind of became a popular character and kind of, despite the WWE's lack of pushing him, became this megastar. So I imagine, like, guys like Daniel Bryan be inspiration to all you guys.
Probably me more so than anyone. You know, I'm 5'5" and I'm only 11 stone. You know, compared to Ricky, it doesn't look like much of a match, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, you put in the work, and, you know, it worked out for Daniel Bryan completely, you know. And it's just, you know, it's sad to see him go, but at the end of the day, he does have to think of his health and his family.
Yeah, that segment on Raw was really good on Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think the thing to remember about Daniel Bryan is, you know, how hard he worked and, you know, how much it meant to him. And I think the funny thing is that, like, those parallels exist everywhere in wrestling. You know, you said about a guy that never really stood a chance. I mean, even CCW, it won't survive unless people get behind it. And that's why, like, on the 20th of February, like, in the keynote, we want people to come. If you want wrestling in Cork, you have to come and support it. You can't just, you know, we put up YouTube shows, and that's for the fan. We do that, you know, we don't make any money out of it. When I say we, like, you know, I am talking with the owners here, but I mean, it's a case that, like, we can only do so much. We're putting it on a plate. It's in the middle of town. So, you know, if you want to, like, this is where you see Daniel Bryan. You know, you see the next Daniel Bryan. How many people came to see Daniel Bryan when he was, you know, 21 years old, having been trained by Shawn Michaels? You know, not many. You could YouTube Daniel Bryan clips and see him in front of 20 to 30 people.
Like, I saw Sheamus down in Trebolgan in front of like 50 people. Do you know what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly, yeah. So, and this is the thing, and people talk about, you know, paying your dues and this kind of thing, and it's about being professional, whether you're in front of 10 people or 1,000 people. And that's what we're willing to do, you know. So it doesn't matter how many people come to the kino, but the truth is that if people don't come, it's not going to be there for very long. And that's the thing, you know. I think it was the Young Bucks tweeted, like, enjoy your favorite wrestlers while they're around, because we're all so temporary. But that goes for absolutely everything in wrestling. It goes for promotions, it goes for wrestlers, everything.
Definitely.
Is your match next week a ladder match?
It is a ladder match, yeah.
So, there have been so many amazing ladder matches down through the years. I mean,
there,
like,
has been, yeah.
Do you take inspiration from all those?
Without a doubt. Like, I think this ladder match is very symbolic in a way that me and Ricky have, you know, we started at the same time. You know, we've always been on the opposite sides. And it's just very symbolic for us to be main event. And this is the first ever main event from homegrown talent from CCW, from the academy itself.
Yeah,
you know?
Fantastic.
So it does. It means a lot to me. This is probably, to me personally, it's one of my biggest matches that I've ever been in. So, you know, it's very symbolic.
I know the adrenaline will probably get you through in a day, but thinking of it, like, you know, when you have to think about taking bumps off ladders and stuff, do you get worried beforehand?
How do you learn to fall off a 20-foot ladder?
I enjoy it, it's
one of these things. It's you know, sometimes it's actually easier to land on your back. I think I remember, like, we practice a lot of new moves and things like that, and I was trying to see if I could, you know, perfect this counter where like I actually flipped out of a move and landed on my feet. And I remember practicing it with some of the guys, and I thought, you know, Jesus, I was like, I wish I was just landing this on my back like regular, you know. So because sometimes it's easier to take that, you know, take that brunt and just move on with it, rather than actually, you know, challenge yourself and try something new. But it's going to be the first. Well, technically, it's going to be the second ladder match in CCW history, because we've two on the night, and we're going to be main eventing, which I can announce now. It's the first time CCW have had ladder matches, so it's going to be. It's going to be scary.
Massively exciting. Finally, guys, you're sitting opposite your opponent. What message do you have for him? Xavier, we'll start with you.
Well, honestly, Rory, I genuinely believe that I am the best professional wrestler in this country today. And I am one belt away from proving that to everybody. And that's all I have to say.
Ricky, how do you respond?
Well, I'm not really one for catchphrases or, you know, to quote people. But what I will say is that, like, it's not enough for me to succeed. Other people have to fail in the process. And I believe that Xavier Burns is going to be one of those people.
Excellent. Guys, best of luck next week. Really looking forward to seeing how you get on. And best of luck with the entire show.
Thanks, Rory.